Hi, I'm Beth.
And I'm Leslie.
Welcome to Quince.
A little sweet.
A little tart.
And a little unexpected.
Today is Wednesday, April the 26th, 2023.
And we just got back from a lovely walk with our puppies.
Oh, that was your puppies. Of course, Miss Emma is my pup.
Oh, she loves you so much. I go somewhere and I come back and I've been where you've been and she sniffs me all over. She doesn't sniff me all over when I've been around a dog or something like Knightley does.
Oh, so, well, I certainly love her.
Yeah, she's a good puppy. So what's going on?
Oh, my goodness. Woke to a little bit of frost this morning. And
for the third day in a row?
Yeah, I had to get more heating oil, which you hate to do the end of April, but you can't run out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've had the heat on every day this week.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's beautiful. And the walks and the wildflowers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. But I'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. This has been interesting. It's supposed to rain tonight and then rain all day tomorrow and then be warm on Saturday.
All right, so, for the tourists.
Yeah, so around here we say don't plant anything until after Mother's Day.
That's what we said in West Virginia, too.
Yeah.
People don't always listen.
No. But you get antsy and you think it's really, you know, there's been a week of really good weather and then boom, I took all my plants out at the shop and I had to lug them all back in.
Yeah, I know. We get tempted.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. I really, really enjoyed the community dinner the other night that the Fire and Rescue Support Team put on. It's been a long time. And then they opened with our favorite.
All the soups.
I didn't even count how many, but there were over a dozen.
Oh, yeah. They were all good, I'm sure. I only did one because I'm doing this program, but it was really, really good. And we all picked different ones, I think.
Yes, yeah.
And then we got to see a lot of great people.
Oh, that's the most fun part.
Exactly.
Actually. As much as I love the food, just seeing people that you really haven't seen in maybe even a year.
Yeah, and all winter at least.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all, you know, when you live in a place like this and the weather get cold and we're not young anymore, we tend to stay close to home.
I know. It's sort of fun to hibernate.
Yeah, but then it's fun to get back out and see how everybody's doing.
Exactly.
And everybody seems to be doing well. We saw some of our more elderly residents out and
but that's us now.
Yeah, so a little more elderly than us.
I know. Oh.
They were getting around pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then on Tuesday I had my stitching group, and we had a small group, but it was all local folks. So
that's
that was kind of fun. Because, you know, we talk the same language and know the same people, and so it works out pretty good. Yeah. And what else is going on? Oh, we were just looking at some of the new things in the area, and our young friend that works, her mother and she and several other people work Mayberry Trading Post, has started a little company, apparently, called Parkway Threads Clothing Company. And I did see some examples of their work when I went to the grand opening at Mayberry Trading Post. So they're printing new designs and shirts. If you can't make it to the trading post, you can buy all of our handcrafted shirts, tea towels, and more online at their online store. And I'll put a link to where they're doing that. But her designs that I saw are kind of line drawings, real clean, precise looking.
Oh, yes.
Really nice.
I know that they will do a high quality work. Misty is just an amazing person. And her sister Rachel is quite the artist.
They are are super people.
Yes, very talented family. Every one of them.
Absolutely. And I shared something. If I can find it, you talk while I look.
Okay.
Because we're not supposed to have dead places.
Well, I was going to just to throw in, because I think it's so interesting, about Mark Twain.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah, do that.
Okay. In 1909, Mark Twain is reported to have said, "I came in with Halley's Comet in 1835. It is coming again next year, and I expect to go out with it. The Almighty has said, no doubt. Now, here are these two unaccountable freaks. They came in together. They must go out together." And he was true to his word. Mark Twain died on this day, which was April 21st, in 1910, a day after the comet's closest approach to Earth.
Wow.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
I know, and you know, Mark Twain is so many people's favorite writer or journalist, or just so multi-talented. And this past summer, when we drove to and fro Colorado to my niece's wedding, my brother and I stopped in a little place called Florida, Missouri. And that is where Mark Twain was born.
I got kin people there.
In Florida, Missouri?
Yeah, I didn't know it until recently.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Just a real little community, though they had mail delivery and a zip code.
Yeah.
And there, of course, is a gift shop, very nice gift shop.
Oh, neat.
And I don't know if it was state park or national.
Cool.
Right. And of course, Hannibal gets most of the attention. That's
right.
The place most people go. And it was probably, I don't know, half hour away.
Right. Yeah.
But then we decided we'd go to Florida.
Go to Florida.
Yep. Yes.
Well, Florida, but I have a lot of distant relatives in Missouri that moved there in the 1800s.
Oh, interesting.
You know, people are spread out from everywhere. So what I was looking for was a interview that I don't know what exactly it is. It's a YouTube channel or it's a small TV show called Hometown Hustle.
I've not heard. Hometown Hustle.
Hometown Hustle. And they came and interviewed the people at Concord Corner Store and Poor Farmer's Market and the High Country Lavender.
Oh, wow.
Which is really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool. So I haven't had a chance to look at it, so I'm not sure. I'm sure it was wonderful, but I just thought I'd throw that out there and people could have a look at some of the shops in the area.
Absolutely.
And I'll put I just wrote down to put a link to that.
Right. Of course, people walk right from Concord store right over the hill to hear it, Poppy's.
Yeah, and the more we have here, the better, always.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so I think that's pretty fun that they did that. And apparently the Hometown Hustle thing is a thing because several people had heard of it when they announced that they were doing it. But I'm always so far behind. I don't know.
Yes. Well, we will look it up. We will catch up. We might be getting up in years, but you especially stay up in touch
so much
with technology. Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah. And you did a post. You and Kristen are just fabulous about doing posts about the shop and take wonderful pictures. And I appreciate all that so much. But you did a post about a book that you put in here. It was called Masquerade by Kit Williams.
Just a fascinating book. For one thing, what caught my eye when I got it a couple years ago were the beautiful illustrations.
Oh, they're amazing.
I mean, this fellow, apparently it took him, I'm not sure how long, to work on each picture. And his paintings hang in museums in England.
Yeah.
I mean, just so fun. And, of course, Masquerade the book itself is about a hare, H-A-R-E, a rabbit. Mm-hmm. And so on every single page, even if it has nothing to do with rabbits, there is a hidden hare.
Right.
And yeah. So you have to find it. But you discovered this book back in 1980, 79 or 80, when it came out. Tell me about
that. Well, I'm trying to remember. I still have the copy that I bought. And it was probably in a bookstore in Martinsville. And it was a treasure hunt. It was one of the first, or maybe the first armchair treasure hunt ever created. And there have been others. But this artist hid clues in those illustrations. And they didn't exactly have a lot to do with the rabbit. I mean, I messed around with it for a while. The rabbit, Jack Hare, is seeking to carry a treasure from the moon to the sun. And on reaching the sun, Jack finds he has lost the treasure.
Oh.
And so the reader is challenged to find the location. So in each of the illustrations, I remember one absolutely beautiful one, the rabbit is jumping.
Mm-hmm.
And in each of the illustrations, there's a clue to the whereabouts of this gemmed necklace that Williams created. It was 18 karat gold with jewels, and it was a large filigree pendant in the shape of a hare. He sealed the hare inside a little ceramic casket, and to also foil attempts to locate the treasure by using a metal detector.
Aha.
Okay, the casket was inscribed with the legend, "I am the keeper of the jewel of masquerade, which lies waiting safe inside me for you for eternity." So it took about 3 years, and somebody did find it. It was in England, of course. The book sold hundreds of thousands of copies worldwide, many in the United Kingdom. And the searchers got a little crazy. I think there was another incident where people were trespassing on private land, and people were digging up public and private property, acting on their hunches. One location named Haresfield Beacon was a popular site for searchers. And Williams finally had to put up a sign telling people that it wasn't hidden there. a lot of places that were in the paintings, people tried to find it. But in March of 1982, Williams received a letter containing a sketch, which he recognized as the first correct solution. The man called himself Ken Thomas, and Williams instructed him where to dig for the hare. He hadn't really solved the puzzle in the intended matter. He made a lucky guess. It was pretty complicated. You had to put pointers to all the, there were sayings all around
yes,
the picture.
Yes, around on each page.
Yeah, and so when I looked at it, I was like, okay, these letters are different colors, and all different kinds of things, but there were pointers that he had hidden, and so in each picture you use the pointers to find the actual clue.
So, wow,
it was very elaborate. And but anyway, we sold the book.
Yes, it was worth putting the pictures up.
And so, and you asked me how I knew about it. I think it was, in the bookstore they had information about the treasure hunt.
Because I just, somehow that went past me.
Yeah, well,
of course, 1980, 81, 82,
yeah.
I was just early married and living in Baltimore, and then pregnant and had my child, and so it was a busy time in a different way.
Yeah, so
very good. I just but when I did discover the book, it fascinated me.
Yeah, and then other people have made that type of thing that where clues were hidden in, but that's not new. There supposedly is a treasure, Beale's treasure. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of that.
It's supposedly there's a massive treasure somewhere in Virginia. And there were clues that were left in a code that people have been trying to solve for years and years and years and years.
Now, is that over in the eastern, one of the rivers?
Eastern, I would think it was in the western part, in the mountains, but I may be wrong.
Okay, B-E-A-L-L?
B-E-A-L-E-S.
Oh.
Beale's treasure. I connect it with Thomas Jefferson for some reason, but I may be wrong. It was that time period. It was the Beale ciphers. And maybe it is Oak. Maybe it was on the
Rappahannock coast. Or somewhere.
It's supposed to be a buried treasure of gold, silver, and jewels estimated to be worth over $43 million as of January 2018. Cause it was three ciphertexts. The first, unsolved, describes the location. The second, solved, of course, accounts the contents. And the third, unsolved, lists the name of the treasure's owners and their next of kin.
Oh, my.
So, and it's supposedly buried in a secret location in Bedford County, Virginia.
In Bedford? Oh, wow.
Around 1820. Beale entrusted the box and carried the encrypted message to a local innkeeper named Robert Morris and then disappeared, never to be seen again. According to the story, the innkeeper opened the box 23 years later.
Oh.
And then, decades after that, gave the ciphertext to a friend before he died. The friend then spent 20 years trying to decode the messages and was only able to solve one of them.
So, wait, is it still about?
Nobody has found it.
Ah.
Of course, there are many arguments that the entire story is a complete hoax. But a pamphlet was published in 1885 entitled The Beale Papers, and it was said the treasure was said to have been obtained by an American named Thomas Beale in the early 1800s from a mine in New Mexico.
Interesting.
And he brought it east. And so whether nobody's, and it's a book cipher, which is really makes it even more complicated. Because you have to know the book. So people have used the Declaration of Independence. They've used the Constitution. They've used the Bible. They've used everything they can think of that might have been in existence that this man would have had access to.
Right.
You know, Plato.
Right. Oh, it could be anything.
Yeah, you know, because there were a lot of books in existence in 1822. So,
wow, and Bedford, of course, is where now the National D-Day Memorial is located, and then, of course, Peaks of Otter, and it's a delightful little town, too.
Oh,
they have the prettiest library.
Well, it's Bedford County. The innkeeper was actually in Lynchburg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the Declaration of Independence was the key to the second code. And it said, I have deposited in the county of Bedford, about 4 miles from Buford's, in an excavation or vault 6 feet below the surface of the ground, the following articles belonging jointly to the parties whose name are given in number 3. And then he describes the treasure.
Now,
and that would be something that could be found by a metal detector because it's securely packed in iron pots with iron covers. The vault is roughly lined with stone, and the vessels rest on solid stone and are covered with others. Paper number 1 describes the exact locality of the vault so that there will be no difficulty.
Wow, that's so fascinating.
Yeah, so anyway, so, you know, the whole thing is nothing new.
Mm-hmm. Right. Everyone loves a treasure.
Everyone loves it. Well, I think everybody loves a puzzle.
Right.
And a mystery.
A treasure map.
Yeah. Yes. The hair that Kit Williams, I'm sure it was valuable because 18 karat gold with jewels.
Right.
But the main part about it was just the fascination of trying to find it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a beautiful, beautiful book, Masquerade by Kit Williams. It was published in 1979, 80.
Right.
And so if you find a copy,
yes,
look at it and dream about treasure.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So that was kind of like our first segment. We got kind of away from doing segments.
And we do have to mention that the internet was off from midnight till around noon to today.
Yeah.
And so it still hasn't quite gotten back online. Forgive us as we try to look some things up.
Yeah, our computers are acting a little crazy. So anyway, usually what we do next is some knitting stuff.
Yes, please tell us
something. Last time I did not do it. I was bad. So this time I went up on Ravelry, and the hottest pattern for knitting right now is called the Elena Pullover. And it's by Claudia Quintanilla of UKnit. And it has 4,260 favorites.
Wow.
Which is pretty good. And I'm trying to pull it up here. But it is it's got a lace panel at the top. Looks beautiful on these young women that they've got it on.
Of course.
I'm not getting the connection. Yeah, here it goes. But it's got a lacy top and then a solid bottom part. It looks like about 3/4 length sleeves, although you can make them longer. And it's just a really pretty design. It's made with recommended yarn is Isager yarn Tavini and Knitting for Olive soft silk mohair. Both are used in the pattern. They're lace weights, but they're held together.
Oh, very pretty.
Yeah, it is very pretty. I think I like the solid color one best. But
mm-hmm. Oh, I think so.
Yeah, but they're both attractive. And I tell you, all these pretty young girls wearing these things. But that one's pretty, but it's pretty the way they put it. They have a brown and a blue one. The lace panel's in brown, and then the rest of it's in blue, and then they put a brown skirt on the model. And that looks really attractive. And then there's an off-white one that they have. So anyway, that looks like it would be fun to do. It's a paid pattern. It's $9. But for the work that she's done to put in it, it looks really nice with these skirts and young people.
Would you make it?
I might. I haven't done anything with lace like that. I probably should. I've done a lot of lace, but I haven't done anything with a lace panel like that. I would probably do that. I like working with fine yarns. I'm weird. And the needle size is size 6 and 7, so that's not so bad. And the sizes go from extra small to 4X.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that covers everybody.
Yeah, which is good because sometimes they don't cover everybody. The average difficulty is pretty easy. And the yardage is from 1,258 yards to 2,865.
So how many?
Well, each skein's different. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought a skein was a skein was a skein.
Well, at one time, a skein was a skein was a skein. It was 419 yards, I think. it was an actual legal unit of measurement.
Right.
Maybe not in America, but now a SCANUS is whatever the manufacturer puts up.
Oh, is that right? Sort of like buying ice cream.
Yeah.
It's like it's a half gallon in the half gallon anymore.
Well, and there is sort of a standard. Cascade does 220 yards. That's just, mm-hmm. 220 is their thing.
Their standard.
Yeah, yeah. And 220 yards, you can make a pretty decent project. Now, my sock yarns, most of them have about 400 yards because it takes about 400 yards to make a pair of socks.
Mm.
The finer yarns.
Mm-hmm.
This lace weight that they're talking about, I'm not sure how it's put up, but I've seen lace weight up to 600 yards in a skein. So it's all different. And then I was poking around on Etsy, and I found this amazing thing that other people probably know all about because hundreds and hundreds of them have been ordered off this site. It's called a knitting barber cord. Why it's called a barber, like a barber that would cut your hair, I don't know. But it's a hollow cable that you use as a stitch holder. And the beauty of it is that you can put the end of your needle on this cord. When you're making a, and my knitters know this, when you're making an item, there are times when you have to take the item off the working needle,
mm-hmm.
and put part of the stitches aside. Like if you're making a sleeve,
mm-hmm.
and there's different reasons for doing that. And so what we generally do is we either take the ends of the needle off and put a little stopper on and then have to use the needle with another cord, or you take a long strand of yarn and a needle and you sew the stitches off onto this strand of yarn. Well, what somebody, clever person, has come up with is you can take this hollow cord, stick it on the end of your needle, and push, and all the stitches come right off onto this cord.
Wow.
Just really fast. And they're all, the really nice thing about it is more than likely your stitches, when you put them back on, will be in the right position.
Mm.
Because sometimes when you're sewing them off, you get the stitches twisted. And then you have to fix them.
Oh.
So anyway, this I had never heard of such a thing. I'm going to have to order it just to see how it works. This particular shop, and they're available in other places, is called Handsome Fibers. They're a star seller with 77,000 sales, not all the barber cords. And they have 23,047 5-star reviews.
Wow.
So I think it would be a good place to get your barber cord if you were interested in barber cords. Mm. And they come in different colors. There's three, I think, in a little tin for storage, which is quite nice. And she also has some other cool things. She's got a lantern, some of the things that she carries are from Lantern Moon and some of the nicer suppliers. And that's my knitting thing. I haven't been knitting anything interesting.
No.
Yeah, this is tax time. This is a stocking the shop time. This is
reopening for the season.
7 days a week time. Yeah. This is all sorts of things going on time. But I did. I have two big orders of yarn coming in the next few weeks. And so that will be fun to get to delve into when that happens. All right. So I guess we have to go to our main subject.
Ah.
You know what that is, right?
Of course I do. Because it's been a word that I've used practically every day in the last month or so, and that is beauty.
Yeah.
Beauty. Of course, we were talking as we were walking about how beauty shows up in several of our favorite hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For the beauty of the earth.
Yeah, that's been running through my head ever since you mentioned this.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yes. I mean, as a little child, I think that's where it was always a favorite to sing in church.
Because
it wasn't all that dire stuff or whatever. Yeah. It was lively
and not that hard to sing, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And another favorite was All Things Bright and Beautiful. Yeah. All creatures great and small.
All creatures great
and
small.
Thank heavens, the James Herriot made that famous with all his books, his veterinarian stories. And
I remember that one from the time I was a child, too.
Yes. So what had started, or at least when we decided to take beauty as a topic, was one of my quotes and little writings on Facebook, which I shall go ahead and read to you. And the quote is from one of my most favorite people of all times, was John Muir.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually born in 1838. And you know, his main thing when he was growing up was he was an inventor. I mean, he even had an alarm that would get him out of bed. I mean, these amazing inventions.
That's so cool.
Very cool. And he really didn't become an appreciator of nature until he was in college. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he always seems to be born in, what did you say,
1838.
He always seems so contemporary to me.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
I mean, so much a part of, of course, I grew up in the 60s, the 1960s, and people were kind of rediscovering a lot of his work in that time period. So I always, always kind of picture him in that time period.
Yes. He actually went blind, I'm not sure if it was one eye or both, for a short period of time. And when he did get his vision back, that's when he decided he was going to devote his life to nature. And of course, he made the decision to walk, clear across America all the way down into Florida, which was, it was pretty crazy in the mid-1800s. But just anyway, this is the quote.
Okay.
No synonym for God is so perfect as beauty. Whether as seen carving the lines of the mountains with glaciers, or gathering matter into stars, or planning the movements of water, or gardening, still all is beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, it truly gives me pause on many occasions to stop and consider the beauty of the earth and universe. However it was created, being a snap of the finger, a drawing on a sketch pad, a mathematical compilation, an evolutionary design, that matters little to me. What is important is that it was created out of love. A whiff of a lilac is all it takes to convince me.
Mm.
So, beauty as a synonym for God. I mean,
I think that works.
I think it works, too. Yes.
For sure.
It was one of the philosophers, and I believe it was, and I'll say his name wrong, but G-O-E-T-H-E, Goethe.
Something like
that. Except it's pronounced different than that.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said every day you should find something of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And, that can be music, that can be art, it can be a flower, a tree,
a child.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a thing of beauty, but recognize it as such, I think, is what is important.
You've been doing that so well lately with all of your photography.
It just really has turned into a quest every day. Not that I even, it's never a hard quest.
No.
I mean, there's...
Right, what you notice, you know, the, and I've always thought, you know, God wouldn't make beauty or wouldn't have made things so beautiful if we weren't to appreciate it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I always say thank you.
Yeah, I know you do. That always tickles me. You put up a picture and you go, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's so lovely.
Or even when I photograph, you know, like yesterday I was walking around along Round Meadow Creek, which you played in when you were a child.
Yeah.
And I was walking out that path, which a new neighbor has cleared.
Mm.
And so it's much easier than it was with all the trees down.
Yeah.
So I was walking out there, and the beautiful winged flowers, to me, they just look like angels all over the ground, sort of a purplish blue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so beautiful. And I just had to say to them, thank you for coming out. And the trilliums, all kinds and colors, and the yellow lady slippers. What a thrill.
You need to send me that picture that you took.
I've been taking a bunch of them.
Yeah,
yes. But when I saw them last Monday, I was walking around and behind Mabry Mill, which is on the Blue Ridge Parkway, one of our national parks.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to remind people. I was just walking along and didn't expect to see them because last year it was May 6th and this was August 23rd.
Right.
I mean, April 23rd. And all of a sudden there it was. And it was like seeing an old friend. And it was like, oh, thank you. You know, you beautiful thing.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, a lot of those trilliums and lady slippers and Jack in the Pulpit and all of those things have become quite rare.
Yes.
In
oh,
this
yes.
area because people were collecting
oh,
them.
Oh, yes.
And it became, I'm pretty sure it's illegal.
I think it still is.
To collect them. And,
well, I know it is on National Park.
Well, yeah. Don't mess with the National Park people.
No.
They don't appreciate it.
No.
So they've made a comeback.
Yes.
And several years ago, when I was still working at Poor Farmers, a gentleman came in with some photographs that he had taken of white trillium all along this hill.
Ooh.
I mean, it was covered.
Wow.
I don't know where it was, somewhere in Floyd County. It was absolutely stunning.
Oh, my.
Even in the photographs.
Oh.
You know, it would be wonderful to see that.
Well, there's dozens of them out right now
at Mabry Mill. Yeah, yeah.
To walk around.
You know, and they weren't there. They didn't used to be
there. No, I know. And as a child growing up in West Virginia, of course, my mother was a botanist, right? And so, I mean, we had it in our head, you never even touched them,
you know.
They were sacrosanct, and Dutchman's britches, and,
those little pink ones are so elusive. But I've seen a lot of them on Concord Road now.
I know, it's just amazing.
So it's good to worship beauty where it sits.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, moving a lot of wildflowers doesn't work because they are very picky,
right,
as to where they live.
Yeah,
and they should be left where they live.
Yes, let the birds do their thing
We were a friend of ours and I were looking for a cemetery last week. We didn't find the cemetery, but what we did find were a lot of just coming up. It was probably a deeper woods than what you're looking at. It really looked like it was probably lady slipper or it was some kind of lily coming up. And so we were excited to see that. I ought to sneak back over there in a week or two and see what came up.
Yes, now I had a friend, my friend Lisa Hollingsworth Segedy, visiting from Pittsburgh. She's a director for American Rivers and used to live here. Just she, you know, I always say she is definitely a Renaissance person. So, so wise on so many subjects.
Oh, yeah.
And we were walking, took the hike up at Rock Castle Gorge, that's, it's about a mile, mile and a half loop behind the picnic area, back on that side. And we had a young eighth grader with us, one of my dear friends. Mm-hmm. And so she was saying to Lisa, you know, what kind of rock, what kind of this, and Lisa's just telling her all names, and just the beauty of that, this friendship between, you know, this 60-year-old with this 14-year-old, and how excited they both were to have made new friends with each other. I just, you know, so you can find beauty in friendship and in learning.
Yeah, absolutely. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
A frolicking calf.
Yes, definitely. Well, and of course, in sunsets, like after our hike, we went up to the saddle area where you can look out over Buffalo Mountain. And, you know, I mean, the sunsets are always pretty. I mean, there's always something to appreciate. But that night it was, it was the oranges and pinks and just so gorgeous.
Yeah, and the stars in the sky. And oh, we can look out right now and it's gorgeous. I
mean, yes, it is.
There's a new, it's not new, it was an old, I think it started during COVID, a Facebook group called A View From My Window.
I love that site.
I just recently found it. And so I really enjoyed that. And, I mean, no matter what the view is, I mean, there's been city views, there have been Kenya. There's something beautiful in every single picture.
Yes, yes.
No matter where it is, just out in
might
the desert.
Might be a cat in the alley from a window.
Exactly. Yeah. Or the shadows on a bike.
Yes.
That was in that alley.
Yes.
Or there's something beautiful in every single picture that people have put up.
I've been watching that site and even had a picture. One of my pictures is up on that site.
They did close that site and opened a new one. And so now you're allowed 4 pictures a year.
Oh, okay.
Because the original site, you were allowed one picture.
One.
That
yes.
was it.
And
yeah.
my picture went up, I'm trying to think if it was July of 2020 or 2021.
Yeah.
Which year, but I know it was. And it was a view from my front porch window door, sort of standing, looking out. And it was a donkey that was in my field with the sunrise coming up behind it. So it really was a pretty scene.
Yeah.
But I was so proud of that. And,
absolutely.
And yes, but that site was really helpful to people as we were locked in.
Well, it was. And I'm sure that was the reason it started. And for some reason, it just came up late for me. And then there's a new one. It's probably not new either, but it's a new one because I was liking all these pictures. It's the Gate Appreciation Society.
That would be fun.
That one is so much fun too, because most of the gates seem to be in England, but you know, there's so many pretty gates, and
we have pretty gates up here.
Yeah, pretty gates, and just the simplest gates. A lot of them are just simple wooden picket gates, is what I would call them. But they're just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Transylvania, of course.
Yeah.
Well, or even the farm gates around here.
Sure.
Sometimes just the lanes as they go up into the pasture or into the forest.
Yep.
You just want to walk. You want to open that gate and walk
that
path.
So it's And then, of course, there's some amazing ones that people have made. Oh, we know a fellow, Kirk Coates.
Oh, yes.
He could do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if he has made gates, but
I think so.
He worked on
the ironwork with the fence and the gate around the Reynolds Cemetery Reynolds Homestead.
Yeah, yeah, so, you know, these people are doing amazing work like that. Mm-hmm. So there's even beauty in your computer.
Oh, yes.
And beauty in creation. My our coworker here is making a wreath. Our friend Kathleen made a grapevine wreath for us. Mm-hmm. Last winter, we decorated it for Christmas, and then we decorated it for wintertime, and now she's doing a spring one, and it's looks like it's mostly sunflowers that she's doing, and there's beauty in creation.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes there's beauty in the eye of the beholder.
This is true. Yeah, that's okay.
That's the best kind, isn't it?
There have been conversations that off and on in the last few years that older women become invisible. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was an entire book. Did we read that in book club?
What, When I Am in Purple? No.
No. No. There was a book about these women, this woman who...
When I Am Purple.
Yeah. This woman wakes up one morning, and her whole family just doesn't know she's there. I mean, they're all going about their business, and she speaks and nobody pays any attention, and she discovers she's invisible. She's actually invisible. Nobody can see her. And the story goes along a bit, and she finally founds a support group for women who are invisible.
Oh my God.
And of course it's a metaphor for the fact that when you get older and family's taking you for granted and mm-hmm. they wouldn't notice until you didn't do the things that you normally do. And but these women come to the support group and they're all invisible, you know, talking to each other.
Yes.
I can't remember the name of the book.
No, I don't know that particular book, but I have certainly heard that. And I have had friends who have said how invisible they felt. Many of them, I think, were quite beautiful women in many, you know, in a physical sense.
Yeah.
Because I haven't really felt that yet, but I think you and I are sort of more forces to be reckoned with type people.
Yeah.
You know, that when we walk into a room, not that we're overbearing or anything like that, but we have maybe a sway of self-confidence or something.
Or the fact that we are generally some of the youngest people in the room.
Oh, well, that could be like at church.
at church and at the support group, you know, we are members of an older community.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking even at... like story space where there's younger people.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because we are so interested in other people and no matter what someone's age is, and give them our full attention, and therefore they give us their full attention.
Yeah.
But there maybe very well will come a time when I
couldn't say that I've run into it at all, but I can see
how it happens.
Yeah, I can definitely see how it would happen. It's rare that I'm in a situation. I went to that book or that writer's conference.
Mm-hmm.
So many young people.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely, lovely, lovely young people. And they were respectful and engaged.
You didn't feel invisible.
I did not feel invisible. But it was lovely to be around some younger people. Oh. And a lot of young people come in the shop. Mm-hmm. And that's always fun to see young folks.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling a lady that has several children here. They've moved into the community not too long ago, and she brought two of her daughters in, and they both had projects for the school that they were working on, so I contributed a little bit. And I told Carrie, I said, you know, you have lovely children. I suppose
she really
you know
does.
That.
She really does.
But they give me hope.
Uh-huh. Oh, so many of the kids do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, do you know what? Here is another quote that I'll read, if you don't mind, with my little thing. And it's about that being invisible in a way.
Okay.
But it's a little twist on it. And I have felt this since I've retired from my job.
Okay.
And this is a quote from Mae Sarton.
Okay.
From the book As We Are Now.
Right.
Nobody stays special when they're old, Anna. That's what we have to learn. I was thinking about this very thing on one of my meanders in the woods the other day. I'm not sure special is the right word, for we are always special, at least to some people, eh? But we, without a doubt, are seen in a different light when we retire our professional identity. We may go from having powerful positions, being in the limelight, defined by our titles, associated with certain organizations. The list goes on. It is why some people have difficulty in their retirement. We know we still retain the same talents and abilities we established over a lifetime, but the world seldom sees it that way. Yet most of the retired people I know, including myself, feel a freedom, a shedding that is a path to discovering just how life itself is truly special. Not me, but life.
All right. I missed that one. I didn't see that one when you posted it. Yeah.
So, well, I think that's a good point for winding.
Well, I have a poem.
Perfect.
Yeah. And this has always been one of my favorite poems. I'm not sure why. It's called She Walks in Beauty by Lord Byron. She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meet in her aspect and her eyes, thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Yep, that's my favorite part of it. It goes on, but... And on that cheek and o'er that brow, so soft, so calm, yet eloquent, the smiles that win, the tints that glow, but tell of days in goodness spent, a mind at peace with all below, a heart whose love is innocent. Says a lot.
Says a whole lot.
Yeah, you could talk about beauty all day. Because there's so many different aspects. Beauty in books. We read West with Giraffes.
Oh, what a beautiful book.
It was a beautiful book, and I think every single person in book club loved it.
Yes, that's the first time.
That's the first.
We ever had a book like that. Yes.
Yeah, and giraffes have shown up almost every day since for me.
Oh, how magical.
It's really funny. It's like I'll be looking at a picture on the view from a window. That's a giraffe.
Maybe that's going to be your totem. Like
it may be my totem.
I see ducks everywhere,
right? Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like I was in the suburban backyard. It was this big giraffe, and it was like a
carving.
It was a carving that this woman's husband bought her.
Oh, how cool.
And then in another one, there was a concrete giraffe sitting beside the mailbox or something.
Wow.
It was like, every day I see a giraffe now. But it was a great book.
Yes.
And a beautiful book.
Yes.
All right, you're right. We probably should be winding up. Our show notes can be found at www.quincepodcast.com. You can listen to us on our Podbean website. You can listen to us through several different apps. And we're on iTunes, I think, still. I should have checked, but I haven't. We took a little hiatus, and I'm not sure what's going on. And we will be back in 2 weeks. Promise?
A promise.
Okay.
Bye-bye.